This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Hi, it's Colin Coward. You know, in business, you and I both hate wasting time or money. Driving to the post office, waiting in line, gee, waste of time. Leasing a postage meter, ugh, way too expensive. I've got a perfect solution, Stamps.com. At Stamps.com, you can print real U.S. postage using your own computer and printer. No hardware required. Simply sign up at Stamps.com. Within minutes, you can print all your postage, postcards, letters, packages. It's so convenient. It's like having a post office right in your office. I've been recommending Stamps.com to anybody who will listen. Right now, Stamps.com has a special offer, no risk trial, plus a $100 bonus offer, including $45 free postage. That's more free postage if you use my name, Colin. Try Stamps.com today for a no-risk trial. No risk and a $100 bonus offer. Go to Stamps.com before you do anything else. Click on the radio microphone, top of the homepage. Type in the name Colin. That's Stamps.com. And be sure to use my name, Colin.
It's time to play that real kick-ass open.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show with sports director Doug Duda.
Doug Duda with a sports update on ESPN.
Pick and roll, and Olmstead is wide open from Romy. And he's got him locked up, and he gets the pin. Michael Klingensmith gets past, knocked away, Mariska. Jesse goes in for the layup, and it's up and in. And Ravenna's going to win state.
And Big Daddy Tony Davis.
It is now a new trophy. We have a new champion. A new champion is crowned.
Be big. I'll be big anyway. I'm not much of a help. I'll be.
This is so Apollo Creed and Rocky in the middle of the ring.
And now it's time for the best sports show in Central Nebraska.
I wouldn't go that far, Mayor.
It's the Doug and Daddy Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Doug and Daddy Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. It's the opening day of Husker Harvest Days, and we are at the Dynagrow. You can't call it a booth. You call it a pavilion. We are at the Dynagrow Pavilion, and all of the great representatives of Dynagrow are on hand here today. We like coming over every year and seeing Lauren and the gang. And, you know, first off, though, Daddy, man down. Man down in the Dynagrow crew today. Man down. Dynagrow Dave.
Oh, boy, he's down and out. But you know what? We're missing him here, but we're going to take care of the business. It has to go on today.
That's right. You should see how hard these Dynagrow guys are working over here today, Dave. They are going nutso. Things are moving. They've got new customers. They're taking care of you. Current customers. It's unbelievable. For day one, Tony, at 11 o'clock in the morning, this place is bustling. Part of it probably because of the rain that we had last night. And, you know, the farmers say, well, if it rains, I'll go. And That gives them 3 days and gives them three opportunities. Unfortunately, some of it wasn't very good last night. Some boys got beat up, and hopefully not too many. But the guys are out, the gals are out, and it's day one of Husker Harvest Days here at Grand Island.
Yeah, they're excited to be here. They got some new product. Mikazi Yield Pro is a Dynagrow Roundup Ready product. It's coming out. Riser. Ask them about their riser when you stop in. It's basically the startup fertilizer, except you don't need to use as much, which means you don't have to fill your tanks as much, which means you go further, get out of the field faster.
Probably plus saves money if you have to buy as much.
Increases the root mass, excellent crop safety, increases early season plant vigor. Hey, we love Riser, and you should too. Ask them about locomotive. Ask them about all the new products they have to offer here. I tell you what, the yields are coming in from the test plots, and they're going crazy here at Dynagrow. You need to check it out today. Right along Seed Corn Row, you'll be able to find this real easy. Doug and Daddy banner sitting out in front of the building here. Looking forward to having you stop up and say hi to us, and welcome to Husker Harvest Days.
And by the way, if you're new to the area, haven't been to Husker Harvest Days, not familiar with where Seed Corn Row is, it's on the east side of all of that is here at Husker Harvest Days, though, on the pretty much the far east side. Of course, the test plots are right out back of all the buildings here on Seed Corn Row. And so look for Dynagrow towards the northeast corner of Husker Harvest Day's lot here. And folks coming out from all over, they just got done with the state fair, and the folks are getting ready for Husker Harvest Days. And it looks like another great turnout here. I'll tell you what, again, if the turnout right now has anything to do, and folks don't think that there's so many people, I shouldn't go out today, because that's not the case, but folks are out and enjoying a beautiful day. This is the day to be here.
Yeah, a lot of fun here at Dynagrow. So stop by and see us today. Oh, boy, that's disappointing right there. But you got something to see what's disappointing. That's the only disappointing thing going on in Husker Harvest Days today. Hey,
I didn't know
we got some great guests. And you know what? I got to start this off by saying, you mentioned yesterday when that line came out that it was Nebraska minus six. That line has dropped to 3, 3.5. That was last night. So the money is coming in heavily on Washington.
Washington. That's fine. That's fine. You keep it coming in, people. You keep it coming in. 888-455-ESPN. Coming up on the show today, Detroit Lions, one of their new members, Kyle VandenBosch. We're going to talk with former Husker Chad Kelce. Bo Pelini's press conference, as always, right around 11:30, live from Lincoln. Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. We're going to talk to some of the gang here from Chicago. We're going to talk about Washington a little bit. We're going to look at what they've got going on out Washington. So call us now if you need something, 888-455-ESPN. Or you can email us anytime to the Net Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Love to hear from you on the Doug and Daddy Show here today. And you know what, Daddy? We're going to Washington this week. Probably some milestones from some folks we know.
Yeah, probably a little bit of emotion going through some people's veins this Saturday. And going back to when he was a young pup, our good friend Kaiser, St. Paul native, former
Farwell.
Defensive tackle, Sorry, Wildcats. He's a Panther Dome. Apologize. The first road trip Lauren Kaiser ever got to make was to Seattle, Washington, venue the Nebraska Cornhuskers are playing in Saturday. Lauren, got to bring back probably some pretty good memories when you announced that you got to travel on that game.
Yeah, that was a heck of a deal, you know. Yeah. They bring you in, kind of tell you, pull you off to the side, and Coach McBride said that, you know, I'm going to put you on travel squad this year, and it's kind of an exciting deal, I guess.
Well, did you go outside and do a little dance where nobody else could see you? What did you do? Did you make a call? Did you call Dad? What happened?
You know, I actually, you felt like doing that, but kind of hits a certain point. You got to man up, you know, you don't want to really, but yeah, when you get a private little setting, you can do stuff like that.
Well, Lauren, of course, here with us at the Dyna Grove Pavilion at Husker Harvest Days. Huskers going out to Washington. Was that different when you say, oh, yeah, we get to go to all these places? Boy, it's all business for the football team. You fly in, you walk through, you eat, you go to meetings, you get up the next day, you play football, and you get out.
Yeah, I mean, I can't always ask you if you're, you know, I've been to this city and I've been to that city, and I honestly can't really tell you much of anything. You get, you know, you're on the airplane, you get off the airplane, they always, you know, they came out to the runway to get us. We jumped on a bus. You know, either you were, you know, studying your playbooks or you taking a nap or something. You get to the stadium, you get to see the locker room, and then you get to see the field, and then, boom, you get to see a hotel, and that's pretty much that's the end of it. But I tell you what, that stadium, though, that is one impressive stadium. It's just, it's like a straight wall up on each side.
It's an up and down, and then, of course, with the ocean / you know, water
bay, whatever.
Yeah, out on the what is it, the north side of the wherever, on one side of the stadium, one of the end zones, you can pull the boats right up and get out and go to the game. So probably still one of the coolest venues you ever got to play at.
It was, and especially, you know, at that point in time back then, that was a big game at that point in time. Yeah, he was the quarterback, and you know, they were supposed to be the big guns, and we were trying to prove that, you know, we belonged up there too. And they came out and they, you know, played a good game.
Lauren, you're going to hear people on the radio like Torsten Davidson say that, hey, you know, I remember specifically two venues on the road for the noise level and just, you know, trying to talk to somebody and just screaming. He mentioned the station, Texas A&M.
Yeah.
And he mentioned Washington being right up there. Is that the same case for you when you think of road venues that you've got to attend?
You know, I'd say definitely College Station. That was impressive. That was amazing, actually, to see what they did there.
Why are they going to make out after Texas? That seems kind of weird to me.
I don't know. I think it's kind of cool.
Well, explain a lot of things about both of you.
But, yeah, the other one, I mean, I think Washington, you know, Davidson, he was a, you know, I was a rich freshman. He was a true freshman. Maybe it was just our first road game. You know, but I mean, it was hype up there, and it was impressive up there too. But I think a lot of it had to do with our big game and, you know, our first travel, and so I think a lot to do with it. But you know, College Station, nothing even came close to that. That was something else.
And Kaiser's with us here on the Doug and Daddy. We're here till 1 at Husker Harvest Days at the Dyna Grove Pavilion. Kaiser, you're one of the guys, and there's a lot of them that like to get back down to Lincoln a couple of times a year, go to a game, maybe maybe walk in and see what's going on with the program. Everybody thinks they're such a they're hoping for high expectations this year. You've watched the first couple of games. How do you like the feel of what's going on this year, kind of inside, off and on the field, I guess?
I like the way the defense bounced back. You know, that was I was really looking forward to that. I mean, that first game they came out there and it took flat. And, you know, sometimes that's the first game, but, you know, the defense I thought really bounced back good. The front four played a lot better, and, you know, maybe I'm just a little more partial to that, but I kind of pay attention more to that. But, you know, the offense came out. They weren't quite as impressive as they were the game before. But, again, you know, that's why you schedule a couple games like that, you know, so you got to work out all the bumps and bruises and figure everything out. And, you know, I look for them to come out big up there. I really do. I mean, I think it's going to be a good game. But ultimately, I think that defense is going to eventually end up gelling. So I think the offense, I think, you know, they got a new quarterback, and a lot of that, you know, 7 seconds, you better be doing something with the ball because somebody's going to be on your backside. You know, that happened a few times there, and it's just going to be a learning process. But the defense, I think, is going to show up on Saturday.
Well, you got to play for Coach McBride, who I think has a similar personality probably to the Bo Pelini, in-your-face, fiery, one four quarters of football. It's really human nature, though, after you're ahead by so far, to maybe have a letdown like the defense did a little bit in the second half.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of that, they were substituting guys in and all that type of stuff, and that's one of the things you kind of stay on those young guys about while you're there. But, I mean, I wouldn't call it a complete letdown. I mean, they showed a lot of stuff that I liked, and I'd say, you know, when the score starts getting that way, some guys start slacking off, which you don't want to see. Obviously, I agree with you on that, but, you know, overall, the way the defense came out and played compared to the first game, I think it was a lot better.
You've talked with us about this before. On the show, but lack of focus and letting down were some of the words that even the coaches and players were using. You always told us that didn't last long because you had the Peter brothers and you had all those guys that kind of got in your face. Is it a maturity thing? Are there other things? I mean, do the coaches take over? What do you do when you come off of a game like that where everybody knows we didn't finish strong?
Coaches can only do so much. I mean, they can put the guys in the right position. They can tell them what, they can stand out there and scream and fire. It's how those kids react to that. You know, at some point in time, the kids are going to have to reach inside themselves. They're going to have to man up out there, and they're going to have to take it upon themselves to, you know, a couple leaders are going to have to, you know, come through and break through. And, you know, a lot of people usually look to a quarterback or stuff like that. But, you know, where you got such a young quarterback, that's going to be hard. So, I mean, I look for a guy like Crick, you know, somebody's just a big figure on that team, especially on the defense. You know, I think you're going to see guys like that kind of eventually just kind of start sneaking through and show some leadership that way.
Lauren, you mentioned the young quarterback. Can he have a coming out party on the road in a venue like Washington?
I think he can. I mean, it's just, like I said, it's a learning process. You're going to be watching film. The coach is going to be going through it with him. And, I mean, that's just stuff you have to pick up on the go, you know. So he's eventually going to start counting in his head, and he's going to start feeling that stuff coming. And I mean, that guy's fast. I mean, he looks like Crouch fast. I mean, he looked really quick, and I look for him to have a real good game, actually. I mean, as long as that offensive line, and they did, I mean, honestly, this is going to be a fun game to watch because a lot of what we're talking about right now, we're going to get a lot of answers.
Yeah, I think we're going to find out. And an important game because then Nebraska only plays one true game before Texas. I mean, South Dakota State, whatever. Then you get that 2 week with Kansas State in the middle. I mean, really, this until Texas, you got Kansas State. That's the only thing. That's a lot of time to be working on stuff, practice. You want to have a good feeling going into this kind of long break, getting ready for the meat of the conference season.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, that's going to be one game that they can just.
Does that come from a Husker or does that come from a fan?
That comes from a Husker, and that's I hope the Texas game is going to be rowdy. I mean, it's going to be big because everything that went on, and I really want to see him take that game bad.
Lauren, one more question before, and this has been my question. I brought it up Sunday when we were watching football. The kid did put it on the carpet inside the red zone a couple times. Team Magic, if he's able to put it on the carpet, is the leash long with him. Now, something Bo Pelini, you know, that team's going to eliminate turnovers and let the defense win it for him. How long is the leash on Team Magic if he puts it on the carpet?
Like I said, that's that that's that whole learning process. You just got to kind of hope, keep working on things in practice, and you're going to have to get that. The more you get that experience, you wouldn't believe how fast it just comes to you, and things just gel better for you, and you start doing things without even thinking about it, you know. And holding on to the ball, I mean, that's been something that seems like that's always been an issue, but.
A lot of people can correct that. Apparently, Niles Ball can. That's a whole other story.
He finds different ways to fumble the ball. Lauren Kizer, former Husker, with us on the Big Daddy Show. Coming up, we're going to talk to Chad Kelce. We're going to hear from, going to talk to Kyle Vandenbosch. Guys, you talk to him on a similar basis. How's things going for both of those guys as we get ready to chat with them? And what do they got going besides Kyle being in a new place?
Well, I mean, Kyle looked like a killer on Sunday. I mean, I went out and seen him this summer, and he's slimmed down. He's lost about 15, 20 pounds, and the guy looks lightning quick. He's coming off of a 2 years ago he had that injury again. Last year, you know, he kind of played through the whole year and had some bumps and bruises, but he basically, you know, got a year to heal, and then now this year, and he looked fast. And that front, actually all of them look good. Sue, they flew around really well. And, I mean, I know it's the Detroit Lions, and I don't really like them that much, but I think they made some changes around there. It's too bad Stafford had to go down, but
it's too bad the call had to end the game like it did too. Right.
That call, that was terrible. That was the worst call I've ever seen. But I bet they're 500 this year or better.
Well, I think a lot of people are rooting for them just for no particular reason. I mean, I know Nebraska fans are for the Nebraska boys, but I guess we'll see, guys. Anything you want to say about the pavilion here before we let you go?
I tell you what, everybody needs to come on in and check us out over here at Dynagrow, and we've got a bunch of new stuff coming on. We've got hybrids that are looking fantastic this year.
McCoff and Yield Pro, to me, really second to none.
I'll tell you
and
what.
Now you got to see Tony reading books and manuals again. Come on in here, and you can have Tony read some information to you on some of our products.
I'll tell you, you just go out back. We cover up the signs. There's all kinds of brands back there in the test plot, all kinds of brands. But you cover up, you say, hey, which one is the best? Then you uncover the flag and says Dynagrow. So, I mean, there's no doubt about it.
Well,
then you have to put a sign back there. We know it's Dynagrow.
Positive attitude. That's what we're all over here.
All right, buddy. Thanks for having us.
You bet.
Lauren Kizer joining us here on Doug and Daddy Show. Of course, Husker, now one of your seed reps. And, well, you know, he's like, there's Dynagrow Dave, and there's Kize.
Yeah.
Is that true?
No, he's ahead of Dynagrow Dave. Don't tell Dynagrow Dave that.
Kai, you do look skinnier standing next to Daddy.
Thank you. That's a self-esteem booster. That's why you guys are here on Tuesday instead of Wednesday.
Get you a good start to the week. We have a break coming up. Both Lee is going to join us tomorrow. Don't forget, we are at our third Husker lunch of the year. We're going to be over at Hastings Keno. Sean Callahan comes out, talk about the season so far, preview Washington and all that's going on with the Huskers. Bo Pelini's press conference is coming up here in about 10 to 15 minutes. They get that started right around 11:30. We'll bring that to you live. But don't forget, we're here until 1 o'clock at the Dynagrow Pavilion at Husker Harvest Days. Come see us on Seed Corn Row. We'll be back after this.
Attention, all males over 30. Do you get fatigued and find you're still gaining weight every year? Charger can reduce the fat around your core and increase your energy. So, if you're a guy over 30 and you want to lean up, lose the gut, and get more stamina than you've had in years, take charge with Charger. Find Complete Nutrition just north of Sun Mart on 2nd Avenue or call 338-1FIT. That's 338-1348.
Complete Nutrition.
When you need comfort and guidance the most, it's reassuring to know our family at Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services is at hand. With our experience, compassionate care, and trusted facility, we are available to serve your family in any way possible. If you are in need of a helping hand, contact Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services in Kearney at 237-2259, where our family is dedicated to honoring your family for generations.
Well, there's family fun, drinks and food. Everyone's wild about the Chicken Coop.
The Chicken Coop, a first-class sports bar with TVs everywhere you look. And the Chicken Coop is also a family-friendly eatery that sports a varied menu that can satisfy anyone's taste. Find out why so many people flock to the Chicken Coop, downtown Grand Island and downtown Kearney.
Well, there's family fun, drinks and food. Everyone's wild about the Chicken Coop. Sports Bar and Grill, baby.
Our hidden microphones have captured Doug and Daddy planning for their pick'em contest every Friday. This is what goes on in the great minds of football prognostication.
Everywhere I turn, football, football.
Why must you needlessly complicate everything?
So I should probably pee first.
Throw me a freaking bone here.
We're artists.
Every Friday on the Doug and Daddy Show, you can pick against these guys, and you might win a Toshiba laptop computer at the end of the season from ESPN Superstation 1460 and 1550. That'll be a cinch.
A mix of clouds and sunshine develops across the area today with an isolated chance of a shower storm as well, with highs around 84. East winds will stay at 5 to 15. Showers and storms are possible tonight with a low at 67. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 70.
He said, I went skydiving, I went Rocky Mountain climbing, I went 2.7 seconds on a full moon mansion.
And I love you. Here's on the radio, swing by down the road. We'll get you a Doug and Daddy t-shirt. Plus, you'll see all the great of being on board with the gang at Dynagrove. 57-38 this year, Tony. Home run, touchdown, point conversion, three-point bucket. It's all of them mixed into one.
Well, they're trying to score for your farming operation. That's what they're doing here at Dynagrove. So, yeah, 1-800-652-9298. If you don't know who your dealer is in the area, they'll steer you the right way because they want you to know here at Dynagrove what you plant around Wood River is not exactly what you plant around Cozad. Soil types vary. That's why they've got experts in that field help you out at Dynagrove.
You know, another thing, Tony, you look at, you're out in the field. Some people are already harvesting, and you get in and you go, man, what happened this year? You didn't plant Dynagrove. That's what happened this year, guys. 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. And that is the number you need for Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. And, gang, we're going to throw one at you here in just a moment. So get ready. Then Bo Pelini's press conference. NFL football last night, the two underdogs both won. Baltimore a slight underdog, so say what you want. And some nice hits that you want to talk about. Plus, former Husker Matt Slauson kind of lit up a little bit last night. Of course, the plays that stand out are always something like that. But, the Jets lost to Baltimore and Kansas City. Not only did they cover, they both won. And Kansas City, one of those teams that some people thought could make a run. I said on the show, I think this is a team that could be one of the huge dark horses of the year.
Now, we got the station this morning, and first thing Merritt says, this snooze fest last night with the Ravens and the Jets, and I thought, what do you mean? They said from start to finish, the hit that was going on, those are two heavyweights. And I totally, you know, Colin Kaepernick said so much stuff lately that I'm astounded by it. I was just shaking my head and go, what are you talking? You know, he was absolutely right. Those defenses, the way they stack up and the way they hit people have really separated themselves. That defensive backfield for the Jets caused people a lot of, you know, Cromartie and Revis. So those two can just stand out being exceptional. I tell you, the over-under on what out Dustin Keller will get out of bed this morning, it's got to be 7 o'clock tonight. You know, he's a big man. He's Todd Heap size. He is a tight end. When Rick Lewis hits you like that and you go the other direction, I just never – you know, Ray Lewis meeting people, he's 15 in this league. You're 15. You know, it's not like he took six through twelve off due to injuries. He's been playing consistently for 15 years in this league. When you're locking horns in a hole, and that running back continually goes the other direction, that to me is simply amazing. And that to me is what made the game so great last night. I thought, you know, flying around and yeah, they devastated it. I don't know what happened. Keller didn't, you know, it was obviously the first down marker. You got to know where you're at on the field. That was a tough way to end it for the Jets. I don't think they were going to score there. It's 4th and 10, after all. They were a long ways away from There you go.
If you're a Jet fan, and I don't think there's a ton of Jet fans in our area, but if you are a Jet fan, I wouldn't get too up in arms as I would be if I was a San Francisco fan or a couple others. I mean, Baltimore is an outstanding football team. And those are two of the best defenses in the National Football League. That's what folks would have told you in the preseason and getting ready for the year. That's one that on week one, they got to put some games out there like that to get your interest. And that's one of them. So a great football game. How about San Diego just not able to finish the deal last? Kind of a strange game. Maybe they were the better team, but Kansas City got the kick return, a big run from Jamal Charles, had a great night last night. And then the Chiefs did what they had to do to win the football game.
Yeah, Doug, you get a rookie step up, you know, in your first, you know, your first chance to make an impact. First of all, you're not going to play because you're sick. You don't want to be there. You don't feel good. Wait a minute. It's my first home game. I got to be out there. Take a punt 84 yards and excite that crowd. You know, we were there a couple years ago when in this demise where they were not good. And I mean, I talk about it. You know, I heard about the environment in Kansas City. Oh, my gosh. What a, you know, they're second to none in the NFL. And when we were there, it was second to last, I think,
well,
in the NFL.
Yeah, it was end of the year.
Yeah, the end of the year, and they were bad. I tell you what, last night, driving rainstorm to see those people going absolutely berserk, had to be great for not only for the whole fan base that stuck with this team. They're coming back. Matt Castle, I think, on a dry game. You know, the announcers were saying, well, Chris Chambers has got to get out better than that. His foot moved about 14 inches in the turf. That's the reason he was coming out of that cut. I think there's a lot of positive. That defense was flying around, too. Looked like a pretty good defense. Disappointing for me to see Phillip Rivers yelling at everybody. You know, that doesn't look like a leader of a football team to me to be out there screaming and ranting like
Ryan
a lunatic.
Right.
Yeah, acting a lot pretty immature for a veteran like Phillip Rivers.
Bo Pelini's press conference just a few minutes away. Let's do Troutman's Tuesday Trivia right now. Folks, over the weekend, and the number is 888-455-ESPN, 888-53776. Over the weekend, Terrell Owens became the third wide receiver in National Football League history to record 15,000 receiving yards. Only two others have done that. Obviously, one is Jerry Rice. Who is the other? Terrell Owens, Jerry Rice, and this NFL Pro Bowler, all over 15,000 yards receiving in their career. 888-455-3776. If you know the answer, Troutman's Tuesday Trivia, a $25 gift card to the first correct caller.
It's not Art Monk. It's hey, not Steve Largent. I'm going to save you those phone calls.
We are at the Diner Grove Pavilion here at Husker Harvest Days, day one. Come out, see us all. We'll get you a T-shirt and a whole lot more. We are on Seed Corn Row, and we'll be back with Bo Pelini's press conference after this.
Hey, this is Mike Golick for Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. So in baseball, you can go 1-for-3 and still have a good night, but not when you're serving USDA Prime Steaks. Luckily, Ruth's Chris is always at the top of their game. Each night, they serve up their hand-selected steaks tender, juicy, and sizzling on a 500-degree plate so they stay hot and delicious to the very last bite. You have to respect that kind of consistency. It's a lot like me, except the only thing I'm serving up in the morning is beatdowns to Greeny. Visit your local Ruth's Chris today.
You know how to tell if a man is serious about the work he does with his hands? Look at his feet. If he stands in a pair of Red Wing boots, that means he stands for something. He cares about the work he does and the crew he works with. He works with his brains as much as his brawn. Work is craft. Work is complex. Work is family. Work is pride. Red Wing work boots are purpose-built for the exact work you do. Red Wing shoes. Work is our work.
About 80 years before the seeds for the trees that produce the lumber that they sell now were even planted, Mead Lumber was born in Nebraska. Like the trees, Mead Lumber locations have sprouted all over. The latest is just east of Kearney. Contractors will appreciate veteran lumberman Ron Frederick and his decades of experience in problem solving. Heading up the Mead team, Mead Lumber, on the way to the industrial park, East 39th, cleverly located beneath the big red Mead Lumber sign.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney. When it comes to keeping it simple, having your auto and home insured by the same company just makes sense. At Farm Bureau Financial Services, we make it easy to combine and save. And you pay only one deductible for all covered possessions damaged in a single occurrence if you have a loss. To learn more, call Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney at 234-4922. 234-4922. Farm Bureau makes insurance simple. Call them at 234-4922. Farm Bureau Members' Choice Policy issued by Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance Company and Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through Equitrust Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
A mix of clouds and sunshine develops across the area today with an isolated chance of a shower or storm as well, with highs around 84. East winds will stay at 5 to 15. Showers and storms are possible tonight with a low at 67. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 70.
I really, really hate that stupid old pickup truck. You never let me drive.
Welcome back to the show live from Husker Harvest Days. The opening day of Husker Harvest Days just outside of Grand come on Husker Highway. That's where Husker Harvest is, Daddy. We always just assume people have been around here for years. Well, if you're new to the area, especially if you're an ag or a farm, you probably know about it or have heard about it, but this is the place to be over the next 3 days, and we're in the Dynagro Pavilion here on Seat Curtain Row just outside of Grand Island. Come see us.
There's a section of exhibits. The seed corn row would be on the very east side, that last row where the cornfield with all the test plots run behind you. Now, yes, they're testing combines out there. They got auger wagons out there. They're doing all these amazing things out in the field. That's all out around everything. But when you go to the exhibits, the very east side, that row is seed corn row.
And look for the guys, you know, the good-looking guys and the good-looking cats in the red shirts. They're all in red shirts here, guys and gals. At Dynagro, they're all here, and they're all ready to go here in 2010. Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Our Troutman's Tuesday Trivia, we do have a winner. Mara had quite a few different guesses. I heard you say Michael Irvin, somebody threw out there. Three players in NFL history have 15,000 receiving yards. Terrell Owens becoming the third one in the Bengals' loss on Sunday. Of course, Jerry Rice is one. The third one, Isaac Bruce, the former Ram, also over 15,000 yards in his career. And Merritt, who's our winner?
Mark from Minden got that right.
Mark, actually coming through and got something right. Good job, Mark. $25 gift card to Troutman's, where you can get, so much good food. Steaks, USDA-aged steaks for 30 days, the best ground beef, the bacon, all that you would want for your tailgating. Of course, the Green Mountain Grill and a whole lot more. Kerry and the gang take such good care of you. Stop by and see him today at Troutman's Quality Meats. It's a beautiful day. Bo Bellini getting set to speak here in Lincoln in just a couple of moments.
Yeah, you know, you think of all the great wide receivers that are out there. Unless you saw that on TV or had a computer real handy, there's no way you would have guessed Isaac Bruce. I guess they would have been about 119 on my list if you had to sit down and go over great receivers of all time.
Daddy, of course, we are broadcasting live here at Dynagro and the Pavilion. We'll have to see how loud our speakers are. We can start yelling to people as they walk by. See right there, you got a stroller, and you got the mom, and you got the kids, yep. And they got all kinds of bags going right on by, and they're having a great day. They stop in, they go and see what's going on. See a lot of people in cowboy hats, some people in jeans, some people in shorts, some people in ball caps.
Lord, Daddy,
Tom Kaiser, yeah, you can't do any better than that. Another great American right there.
You go, just fun to get out and mingle and see what you got for your future in farming right here at Dynagro. Whether it's Impact, whether it's Locomotive, whether it's Reinforced, I tell you what, they've got it all. Ask them about Riser, the new startup fertilizer.
While we wait for Bo Pelini to come up to the press conference and come up to the stand, a reminder, still to come, Chad Kelsey, former Husker, and former Husker Kyle VandenBosch, a member of the Detroit Lions, now longtime Tennessee Titan. We're going to talk to VandenBosch at 12:30. We're going to talk to Chad Kelsey just after noon after the press conference. So we're here until 1 today on the Doug and Daddy Show, and we want you to stay with us. Chad Kelsey going to join us and Kyle VandenBosch. Find out how Matt Stafford is coming after that injury, get his impressions on Ndamukong Suh, get his impressions on his own game as he's about as good, feeling as good as he's felt here in the last couple, 3 years, and now moving on and seeing what's going on with the Detroit Lions. So they're coming up on the Doug and Daddy Show. Reminder that all the guests on the Doug and Daddy Show are fed by our friends at Burger King. Join the breakfast revolution at BK with hot, fluffy pancakes, freshly baked blueberry biscuits, toasted BK breakfast ciabatta club sandwiches with egg, sausage, bacon, cheese, and tomato. Oh, And if you like burgers for lunch, they'll do that. Full menu served all day. Two locations in Kearney, next to Walmart at 56th Street and 2nd Avenue with their new King's Cafe with free Wi-Fi and high-definition television. They're also near Kearney Cinema. That's where the huge indoor playground for the kids is at 8th Street and 3rd Avenue. Also located Burger King in North Platte, Cozad, and Lexington. Stop by and see them when you need a little icy, a little drink, or two-buck doubles, or a good breakfast.
Well, anything. We love Burger King. Let's stop by. Doug, I'm going back to this game of Washington, and I know I just shake my head when I look at that point spread because I thought Nebraska would really be favored by quite a bit more than that. When I say quite a bit, I'm saying maybe eight more. I thought it would be a 10-point spread, really, when it came out. But this team's 5-7. Yes, they returned 10 starters on offense, 8 on defense. Jake Locker, yes, okay, the game's at Seattle. It's a long ways for Nebraska to go. I think we're 5-7.
All right, gang, it sounds like Bo Pelini is ready to go. Let's take you to Lincoln with Nebraska head football coach Bo Pelini.
He used to be back there, back in Youngstown.
Good old days. Life was a lot less complicated then.
Hey, Bo, with Martinez going on the road for the first time, do you think he knows what he's in for out at Husky Stadium? They always talk about it being so loud.
Can you simulate that? Well, we'll give him some crowd noise and that type of thing. And he's a pretty calm, cool, collected guy. So I don't anticipate it being an issue. You got to prepare him for it the best you can. I think he understands what's in front of him. But until you're out there in that environment, he'll have to. I'm sure he'll need to settle down a little bit and be ready to go.
Is it important for him to even have a sense of the significance of it? I mean, he compared it to a high school game, playing on the road in a high school game. When he talked on Saturday, do you feel like it's good for him to know kind of what he's walking into?
He knows. He's a pretty intelligent guy. But like I said, knowing what you're in for, and then when you walk in there, and actually it's loud and, once the adrenaline kicks in, it's going to be an adjustment for any guy, anybody. I mean, not just quarterback, everybody. You're used to, first 2 weeks, and even the guys, the veterans, it's still a little bit different the first time every year you go on the road. It's just, it's different.
Have you been in there?
Years and years ago.
Did it leave an impression on you? From the noise level?
No, because I've been in a lot of stadiums like that. All the stadiums, most of the road stadiums we've played in are pretty loud, good crowds, that type of thing. The thing left me impression on me is we got beat pretty bad. it was back when I was playing, we had a bunch of punts blocked. It was a nightmare. But it'll be a good environment. I think our guys are looking forward to it. It's been something I think they've been, it's always a good challenge to go on the road, play a good football team and in a good environment. So our guys are anxious for it.
Beyond just piping in crowd noise and practice maybe, is there anything else you do to prepare a quarterback?
No. Just talk to him about it. Make sure you as best you can, tell them what it's going to be like. I don't know how much more you can do. Watch does a great job with those guys, so I don't sense it being a problem.
You have to be careful not to overemphasize so you don't freak them out.
Oh yeah, I think there's one thing about him is he's a young guy, but he's like I said, I think all our quarterbacks are very mature guys, very confident in what they're doing. I think they have a good handle on what they're doing. So I think that's the key, is walking in there with a confidence and a sense of I know what's expected of me. Let's go do it.
You guys have talked communication a little bit defensively too. Is there some challenges too with noise there where you go before hand signal kind of things?
Actually, it's the issues you have defensively are more on the road or more at home than it is on the road. You don't have any communication issues defensively on the road. That's easy. It's like a picnic for the guys on defense on the road because it's quiet when we're out there. Now, when this place is all cranked up, when our defense is out there at home, that's when we have our communication issues because it's flip flops, you know, offense to defense.
Coach, you talk about Locker. I guess when you see him, it doesn't seem like he makes a lot of mistakes. Having thrown a pick this year, what makes him so good at that?
I think they do a good job. I think it's a good handle of their system. He's a good decision maker. He made a couple throws that I think he'd want back to Evan, you know, where guys haven't made plays on him yet. But, you know, he's a good decision maker. He's a good player. And I think he understands their system well. And he's a good player. You know, I think he manages the game very well.
How much is the emergence of Martinez and what he can do, how much has that helped out a guy like Burkhead, who seems to be able to catch a lot of passes and make something out of it and also do stuff as a running back?
Well, you know, I think Rex is, I mean, anytime you have another weapon in there, that's going to make everybody around him better and gives you more opportunities. Hopefully create some numbers for you at times in the run game and pass game. But Burkhead, you know, the thing we've liked about Rex is there's nothing on the field that he doesn't do well. I mean, he's a good threat in the passing game. He's obviously a good running back. He can protect. I mean, he's really just a really, really good football player. And he can do so many things to help your football team. And then you couple that with his character and his toughness and all those things, he's a good guy to have, a good guy to have on your football team. He's a leader. He's everything you want in a football player.
How much, if any, has he elevated his game?
Well, I thought he played well last year. I think he's bigger and faster this year, and obviously, you know, more comfortable. And I just think as time goes on, he's going to keep getting better. You know, I thought he had a tremendous off season, and I think it shows in his play. And really, you just look at what he kind of came in and played right away last year. But boy, he made some marked gains in the off season. You know, he cut body fat. He's faster. I mean, his numbers are better. He's stronger. He really did a lot of good. You know, he's just a guy that works really hard all the time at everything he does. That's just going to make him better.
Well, what's your level of concern for the vertical passing game? You know, Taylor's missed a couple throws downfield the first few weeks.
Yeah, he had a couple ones that I know he'd want back, but I don't really have. I think he can throw the ball vertically very well, and God, the one was a layup and he missed it, and he knows that. But you know, we see him do it in practice, and kind of been in a situation we haven't called as much of it, and part of that's by plan. But you know, he's got a big arm, and he has, you know, I've seen him throw the deep ball very well, so it's not, you know, a big concern of mine. But I do feel we're just going to help ourselves that much more when we get, you know, start getting the ball down the field a little bit more vertically.
When you say by plan, you mean just let him kind of slide into the role a little bit or be comfortable?
No, part of it was we didn't want to, you know, we had certain things going, and we didn't really want to show our hand.
You guys have been working in Cody Green the series every second quarter the last 2 weeks. Is that something that you're going to try to do every week throughout the season, or is that just an early on thing?
No, it's been, you know, it's kind of our plan, you know, when you kind of going in, you know, that we'd like to always do that, and regardless of the quarterback situation, because you know, obviously sometimes situation in a game might not dictate that, might not allow that to happen. But, you know, in this day and age, you always got to have your backup's always got to be ready to play. And, this, you know, especially if, you know, we're using a quarterback some in the run game a little bit more. So you got to give him some time. You make sure that if he's got to go in there that he's had game experience, he's in there, players are used to him, all those things. It's just a philosophy that we have, and one that we're going to stick with.
Coach,
Your first two teams here have kind of hit their best stride late in both seasons. Can you maybe discuss the significance of this game and trying to get that same momentum going a little earlier this year?
Well, I think you're always going to be across the board, across the country, but hopefully you're always going to be better later in the year. If we're doing our job as coaches, you're always going to get better at the end of the year than you were early in the year. If you're managing your team right, teaching them the right way, all those things. But we need to play well Saturday, I can tell you that. And we expect to play very well Saturday. And I think we've been a pretty good road team. I like our approach on the road. I like the way our team comes out and the attitude they take. But this will be a different type of challenge, going a little bit further. But I think our guys are ready to play. Our guys are looking forward to this game.
A lot of people probably look at this game and look at it as the hype surrounding Locker versus the hype surrounding your defense. What do you think of that matchup?
Don't buy into the hype. That's kind of the way I look at it. He's a good player, but I can say this, they got some other weapons over there that it's not all Jake Locker, and the same way it's not all our, it's not one guy on our defense. It's 11 on 11, and we need to execute. They got some good talent. They're going to make some plays. We got to execute better and for a longer period of time than they do. Do what it takes to win the football game.
Bo, do you feel like in the natural progress of your program that there's a hurdle to be cleared that you can maybe get over this week? I mean, you talked about going on the road, far away from home, out of the conference, winning at a difficult place to play. Is it something that you feel is an important step you have to take before you can do some of the next things you want?
I think every game's a hurdle you got to try and get over as a program. And this just happens to be the next one. Does it mean if we go out there and win, does it mean we've arrived? No. If we lose, does it mean we failed as a program? No. I mean, it all doesn't ride on one game, but it's the next step for this football team. So it's a very important one in the way I look at it. I think this is a great challenge for us because ultimately what your goal is to ultimately our number one goal is to win the Big 12 Conference. I think this is a good preparation game for us, out-of-conference game that gives us the best opportunity to get prepared for what's going to be coming down the road in Big 12 play. That's the number one thing. Obviously, we want to win the football game. And we have a good quality opponent on the road. I think it'll be great for our football team.
Any specific lesson from going to Virginia Tech last year that can be gained and apply to this?
I thought we played well at Virginia Tech. I thought we blew some opportunities, and obviously, it didn't end the way we wanted to. I thought we should have won that football game, but we didn't. And I think any time you walk out of a game the way we did that day, and with the missed opportunities we had, and the way that game ended, that was a disappointment, and you want to avoid that. I don't think it wasn't because we didn't play well. We didn't handle the road aspect of it well, any of that. We really failed to take advantage of some opportunities, and we all know what happened at the end of the game.
Coach, when you look at a player like Dejon Gomes, what does he bring to the table? What impresses you about him?
I think Gomes is a heck of a player, and he's very versatile, he's very smart, and he's got tremendous instincts. And he's a really important player for us, and the things he brings to the table. And I think he plays at a really high level. He just seems to make big plays for us. But on top of that, you see some guys that go out there and just make big plays. He plays very, very consistently, and very seldomly is he out of position. He does a lot of things well, and I think he's come a long way in a short period of time as a player.
Coach,
Marvin was saying Gomes is a guy who's just in the film room a lot. Has he been that way ever since he arrived, just kind of a film room junkie?
I think he's a very mature guy, very focused on what he wants to do, and I mean, he's a team-oriented guy, and you know, he's just somebody who has high expectations for himself, and has a real want to get better, and he's a tremendous guy to have in your program. I mean, I really like him. I mean, I just think, not only as a football player, but as a leader, as his character. He's, like I said, kind of came in. When you come in like he did, what was it, like a year and a half ago, you know, I mean, we didn't know that much about him, obviously. We'd get to know each other very well. He was real quiet at first, and then he just kind of grew into what he became, and his confidence started growing. He became that much more, you know, he became that much more effective as a player, because it was interesting. You know, you just see him do it day after day. See him play that way in practice, and he has a great approach to the game.
Well, have DeJean and Haig, have they changed the way that, you know, that you go forward as a defense, you know, recruiting and looking at players, and, you know, they're just so versatile in what they can do? I mean, do you look for more guys like that now that you've seen what those guys can do in your scheme?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you have to have you know, the interesting part of that is, you know, going beyond this year is going to be, I like having guys that can do a lot of things, you know, kind of big, tall, long, athletic guys that can do multiple things. But, you know, the interesting part of it is thinking about going beyond this year is how will that relate to the next conference that we play in. And that's part of the deal and part of the evaluation that we're doing. And a little bit of that is you mix and match according to the personnel. And, you know, the other advantage that we have around here is we have, we're having the walk-on program. You know, you got to also set aside your numbers scholarship-wise and say, okay, these are the guys that are going to really help us in, you know, the walk-ons that are really coming on, they're going to be players that are going to be really good players for us. And he might be able to take another number here at DB or linebacker or whatever it may be, because you feel like you're stronger at that position because of what you've done walk-on-wise too. So there's a lot that plays into it, but I do know this. If you have the more guys you have that are athletic and can do multiple things, the more flexibility it gives you on defense. And so that has changed our way of thinking, but that's almost a year-to-year thing.
Go bigger, you know, going into the Big Ten?
Depends on the guys. You know, I don't think it's a matter of, you know, sometimes bigger isn't better. But, you know, I do think you got to find a way to get your guys, your playmakers on the field one way or the other. I mean, I take a guy like Levante David, who you guys all see is a good football player for us. He could probably play, he's athletic enough and instinctive enough. He could play multiple spots. And I just think guys like that really help you. Because, you know, once again, you know, you get a lot of different, these days in college football, even the teams that are going to hammer you and come downhill at you, they're still going to have some sense of spreading you out at times and things. And you have to have ways, easy ways to adjust and you know, adjust your schemes and still be sound. And if you got guys that can cover, it sure helps your football team.
The gifts that Gomes and Haig have, is that stuff you can see on film when you're recruiting guys, or can you not identify that until you really get them in?
Well, I think what you do is you recruit the athlete, or the, you know, maybe the athlete, the body type, that type of thing. Then you train them to do what you want them to do. And that's kind of how we go about it. You know, I mean, there are a couple guys that we're recruiting this year that, you know, are very similar to that. And, you know, and sometimes, you know, interesting part of it is sometimes, you know, Gomes, we recruited him as a, you know, he was a corner in junior college. And, yeah, I don't think he's played corner since he's been here. Now he could. You know, Haig, you know, I don't know what he played when we got here, but, and, you know, he's played some safety, some corner, and then, eventually we slotted him in there, and he's been really a nickel linebacker for us. And So, you know, just kind of finding the, you know, recruit good athletes and good football players and then plug them in where you see fit. And then also adjust your system accordingly to make sure that you give them the opportunities to have success. Don't ask somebody to do something that's not their strength. That answer your question?
Yeah.
Coach, how would you assess how they graded out your defensive line the first two games?
Our D-line? I thought we were okay the first week. I thought we were really good the second week.
What was the difference?
Technique. Fundamentals. we weren't awful by any means the first week. We played a little bit different the first week. We were a little bit, I'll put it this way, I didn't do them any favors the first week, a little bit by my plan. But I think we played pretty well. We will, as a defensive line, but there's still a lot more out there for us. I know Carl would tell you that, you know, he would say he'd never play great. Because he always wants, you know, keeps pushing them and pushing them. But I've seen some good things, but I've also seen some things we need to fix.
Well, what did Martin do last week in practice and get the opportunity he got Saturday?
He practiced well. We kind of planned on going in. It was kind of a little bit odd game, but we were kind of planning on playing him and Whaley and kind of got settled in there. They didn't get I don't know how many snaps he ended up getting, but, you know, because of how they chose to play us, but I thought he played well, and it just that personnel grouping we used wasn't, you know, they played us a little bit different, so we were a little bit more dime, especially early in the game.
All the fumbles last week, have you guys spent extra time this week concentrating on staying out of the ball?
Oh, yeah. Started it yesterday, and we'll continue it all week, and we always do that, but, you know, sometimes a point needs to be made. And that point is being made.
Well, you talked about how Carl would never say that the D-line, you know, played great. But, I mean, that's kind of like you, I mean, as far as your overall assessment. I mean, when you come out after a game and kind of give it to your players, is that for them to hear through the media, maybe with some of your post-game assessments that have been?
I'm really honest with the players. I'm a guy, I do. I mean, I got to tell you, I tell them I expect perfection. And, you know, I congratulate them on the win. But I also, I really didn't give you guys an assessment that I gave it to them first. And not too, you know, pretty black and white terms of what I watched. And I think we're at a point in our program and our culture and our team, they understand where I'm coming from. I don't think that I said anything to them. When I walked in there and we talked, I didn't say anything that they weren't saying, that they didn't, you know, see themselves. And but am I trying to send them a message through the media? No, not really. I also don't want to walk in and paint a picture for you guys. It's that I'm trying to just be honest with what I saw.
I mean, as much fun as it is to listen to you talk after a game, do you ever fear that it becomes white noise, so to speak, if you do it every week?
I mean, if I think we play real good, I'm going to say that. But I'm not, you know, I'm not trying to, I don't know, I'm not trying to put on a show. I'm just trying to be, it's really how I felt. And simple as that. You know, I mean, I'm not, like, I wasn't trying to send a message to our football team. I already given them that message. And, but that's how I saw it. That's how I saw the game. Really, in black and white terms, that's exactly how I saw the football game. We didn't play up to our standards in some areas. In others, we played really well. And I think it was different the first week. But I'm looking for a full team performance, and hopefully that's what we get this week because we're going to need it.
Well, you've got three guys who are averaging over 9 yards a carry at this point. What do you think the biggest reason or a couple of reasons are for that?
I think the blocking's been good. I think the schemes have been good. You know, now we'll have a little bit bigger test against probably a better defense, and I do like our running, backs and our explosiveness in the running game. I will say that.
Anything else?
There's Bo Pelini's press conference every Tuesday here on the Doug and Natty Show, and we'll talk about Coach Pelini, some of the comments, a little longer this week. It looks like some of the guys, some other things to get to the coach, but Chad Kelsey is going to join us, former Husker, Kyle Vandenbosch at the top of the hour, because we are at the opening day of Husker Harvest Days 2010 in the Dynagro Pavilion on Seed Corn Row. Come out and visit us. They've got a lot to tell you about. If you don't know a lot about Dynagro, they'll give you some information. They want to talk to you. If you already know how great Dynagro is, they've got special savings for you there as well. Come out and see all that's going on with their great 57B38, 57B07, 57B40s. It's all looking good. Talk to Lauren and all the gang here. We got some great folks here, so don't forget to stop by. They're going to be here all 3 days at Husker Harvest Days, Seed Corn Row, located pretty much the northeast corner of all the exhibits here in Grand Island, just outside of Grand Island. Coming up next, Chad Kelsey. Daddy, though, a quick thought on what Coach Pelini had to say today. Most of the questions towards the end there were about other things, defensive backs, recruiting, things like that. But most of the early part was about playing on the road, getting really their first significant road win. Missouri last year goes down as a significant because they won the North. That was the key game to win the North. And then, of course, a nice win against Oklahoma was at home. Talking about playing against Jake Locker. Coach doesn't seem too worried. He thought, well, Virginia Tech last year just didn't win, and now they go out to Washington.
Yeah, I don't know about Pelini. You know, they kind of drug things on at the end there a little bit, you know, trying to get into his mindset a little bit and how he reacts and what he says to the team after, you know, they take some good things with the second half. Is not a, you know, hopefully anybody think he's blowing smoke up anybody's caboose? Says it like it is. You have to say about five times during that, I'm about as honest as they come. You know, the players know how I feel, where they stand, and I congratulate them on the win. That's the first thing. He doesn't just go in there and just start shredding people to pieces. He goes in there, we got number two. That was the goal coming out here. Now, congratulations.
Yeah, now, if we're going to get number three, we got to
right. Yeah. We've got to make some improvements, and it starts probably with our attitude. And I think that was the big, some lackadaisical approach. Just probably not taking that second half as serious as he would like to see it taken. And, you know, I think they get that out of the way. I'll be real interested to see how that young quarterback reacts that first couple series. That's going to be fun on Saturday. And
as long as he can hear. I think he's going to be fine as long as he can hear. And that's the tough part. If you get a little frustrated, which you can do playing on the road, and then they get in your head, then it's even tougher. And we'll see how that goes. We'll see how many timeouts that they have to take in the first quarter.
Well, yeah, they're going to pump up the Hawks facility. He's going to face some noise this week, and they're going to get some hand signals in there. So we'll see how he reacts to that. But I think that's a big key in this game.
Well, let's take a break, because when we come back, Chad Kelsey, former Husker, is going to join us on the Doug and Dan Show. We'll see what he's up to these days, get his reaction on what the Huskers are doing, and talk about playing on the road in the Big 12 Conference. Chad Kelsey is going to join us, and we are live at the Dynagro Pavilion at Husker Harvest Days. Stop by and see us. Want a T-shirt? Just ask Big Daddy. He's going to give you a T-shirt if you stop by and see us here at Dynagro. We've got the second hour of the Doug and Daddy Show next.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.